Is it fine? Yeah. So my name is Ilya Oparin. I'm going to present our common work on structured output layer neural network language model. And we are presenting the work done at LIMSI CNRS in France. So first, I'd like to introduce briefly the neural network language models. Then I move on to hierarchical models that actually motivate the structured output layer model. And finally, I will present the core of this research, the SOL neural network language model. So the neural network language models. When we talk about usual n-gram language models, we know that they are very successful. They were introduced several decades ago. But the drawbacks of these models are also well known. One of these drawbacks are sparsity issues and the lack of generalization. So one of the major reasons for this is that conventional n-gram models, they use flat vocabulary. So each word is associated with an index in the vocabulary. And this way, the models, they do not make use of the hidden semantic relationships that are between different words. So the neural network language models were introduced to estimate n-gram probabilities in continuous space about 10 years ago. These models were successfully applied to speech recognition. Why should they work, the neural network language models? Because similar words are expected to have similar feature vectors in continuous space. And so the probability function is a smooth function of feature values. And so if we have similar features, that will induce the small change in probability for similar words with similar features. So just the brief overview, the way neural network language models are trained and used. So first, we represent each word in the vocabulary as one of n vector, so with all the zeros except for one index that is one. Then we project this layer, this vector, in the continuous space. So we add the second layer that is fully connected, as is called context layer or projection layer. And if we work on the 4-gram level, for example, we feed to the neural network the history that is three previous words. So we project three previous words in continuous space, and we join three vectors in continuous space to obtain the projection, the context vector for the history. As we work with the neural network model, so as we have the vector for the history, the layer for the history, projection layer, then we add the hidden layer with non-linearity, so with a hyperbolic tangent activation function that serves to create feature vector for the word to be predicted in continuous space, in prediction space. Then we also need the output layer to estimate probabilities for all words given the history. So in this layer, we use the softmax function. And all the parameters of the neural network must be learned during training. So the key points are these neural network language models, they use projection in continuous space. That reduces the sparsity issues. So the projection and prediction are learned simultaneously. In practice, significant and systematic improvements, both in speech recognition and machine translation tasks, were observed when neural network language models were used to complement conventional n-gram language models, so that interpolated with them. So the point, everybody should use it. But there is a small problem. Even with small training sets, the training time is very big, is very large. And when we deal with large training sets, it's even larger. Why is it so long? When we look at just one inference, what do we have to do? First, we have to project histories. In order to do this, this is just a matrix row selection operation. Then, imagine that we have 200 nodes in the projection vector, and we have the history of 3, so altogether we have 600, and we have 200 nodes in output layer. So what we have to do, we have to perform matrix multiplication with these values. And then what we have to do, we have to perform another matrix multiplication that depends on the size of the output layer. that is 200, and on the size of the output of the hidden layer, and the size of the output vocabulary. So if we look at the complexity issues, we can see that the input vocabulary can be as large as we want, because it doesn't add loads in complexity. Then increasing the order does not drastically increase the complexity, because it can be at most linear, the increase. The problem is in the output layer, in the output vocabulary size. If the vocabulary is large, then the training and inference time will be large. So there are a number of usual tricks that I use to speed up training and inference. One part of these tricks deal with resampling of training data and using different portions of training data in each epoch of neural network language model training, and using batch training mode that is propagating n-grams sharing the same histories, so we spend less time this way. Another type of tricks is reducing the output vocabulary. That is the thing that is called the shortlist neural network language models. So we use the neural network to predict only the k most frequent words. Normally it's up to 20,000 words. And we use the conventional n-gram language model to give the probabilities for all the rest, right? So in this scheme, we have to keep the conventional n-gram language model for backup if and for renormalization, because we have to renormalize the probabilities so that they sum up to one for each context. Now I'd like to talk about hierarchical models that actually were introduced to tackle this problem of dealing with large output vocabularies. One of the first ideas was dealing with speeding up maximum entropy models, so that, because there is the same problem. The previous talk was about this, actually. So what was proposed about 10 years ago is just, instead of computing directly the conditional probability, make use of clustering of words, so that we introduce classes into computation, and then if we have, for example, word vocabulary of 10,000 words, and we cluster them in 100 classes, and imagine that each of these classes has exactly 100 words inside. So instead of doing normalization over 10,000 words, we have to do two normalizations over 100 outcomes. So it can be, we have to do only normalization on only over 200 outcomes. So we can reduce the computation by 50. That was the idea. Then this idea was inspired the work on hierarchical probabilistic neural network language models. So the idea is to cluster the output vocabulary at the output layer of the neural network and predict words as paths in the clustering tree. The clustering in this work was constrained by WordNet semantic hierarchy, and in this framework, we predict not a word exactly in the output layer, but the next bit in hierarchy in the tree, in the clustering tree. So we at each node, we predict the bit that is 0 or 1, left or right, in the binary tree, given the code for this node and the history. So there is one parameter added in the calculation that is the binary code of the node, the way we have to get it, to get to it. The experimental results were shown on quite small brown corpus with a 10,000 words vocabulary. Significant speed up was shown, like two orders of magnitude, but loss in perplexity at the same time. Probably the loss in perplexity was due to using WordNet semantic hierarchy. So in the work called Scalable Hierarchical Distributed Language Model, the automatic clustering was used instead of WordNet. The model itself was implemented as log-bilinear model without non-linearity. and one-to-many word-class mapping was supported, so the word could belong to more than one class. The results were reported on a larger data set with the 18,000 words vocabulary. Perplexity improvements of the N-gram model was shown, speed up, of course, and similar performance to a non-hierarchical log bilinear model. Now I'm going to talk about the major part of this work, that is structured output layer neural network language models. So what are the main ideas behind the structured output layer neural network language models? First, if we compare it with the hierarchical models I've just been talking about, the trees we are used to cluster the output vocabulary are not binary anymore. So we actually, because of this, we use multiple output layers, the output layer of a neural network, with a softmax in each. So I will talk in detail a bit later about this. Then we do not perform clustering for frequent words. So we still inherit some ideas from the shortlist neural networks. So we keep the shortlist without clustering, and we cluster only non-frequent words. And then we use what we think is efficient clustering scheme. So we use word vectors in projection space for clustering. The task is to improve state-of-the-art LIMC speech-to-text system that makes use already of shortlist neural network language models that is characterized by large vocabulary and the baseline N-gram language model trained on billions of words. So word clustering, how we do it. First, we associate each frequent word with a single class. And then we cluster all infrequent words in this way. As we use in our research clustering trees that are not binary, as opposed to binary clustering trees, our clustering trees are quite shallow. So normally in our experiments, the depth of the tree is either 3 or 4. Here is you can see the formula for computation of the probability. So actually in each leaf of this clustering tree, we end up with the word as a single class. So at each level, we have softmax function. At the upper level, we have the shortlist words that are not classified. So each word in each node in each class. And then the node for infrequent out of shortlist words. And then we do clustering. And we add up at the lower level, again, with one word per class. So if we represent our model in this more convenient way, we can say that normally, it's the neural networks, they have one output layer. In our scheme, we have one output layer that is the first layer that deals with frequent words. And then it has other layers that deal with subclasses in the clustering tree. And each output layer has softmax function. So if we have more classes, deep clustering, we have more output layers in our neural network. The training algorithm, the way we train our structured output layer neural network language model. So first we train a standard neural network language model with a shortlist as an output. So it's a shortlist neural network language model, but we train it only with three epochs. So normally we use 15, 20 epochs to train it fully. So now it's really trained with 3 epochs. Then what we do, we reduce the dimension of the context space using the principal component analysis. And in our experiments, the final dimension is 10. And then we perform a recursive k-means word clustering based on this distributed representation induced by the continuous space, except for the words in shortlist, because we do not have to cluster them, right? And finally, we train the whole model. The results we report in this paper are on Mandarin Gale task. So we use LIMC Mandarin speech-to-text system that is characterized by 56,000 vocabulary. This is a word vocabulary, so What we do first, we do the segmentation of Chinese data into words using the maximum length approach, and then we train our word-based language models on this. And the baseline CNES RNA language model is in train on 3.2 billion words. And this is trained on many subcomponent LMs that are interpolated together with the interpolation weights tuned on dev data. Then we train four neural network LMs using at each iteration about 25 million words after resampling, because at each iteration we resample different data. In the table you can see results on Mandarin Gale task, first with the baseline foreground LM, and then when this baseline foreground CNES RNA LM is interpolated with neural network language models of different types. So we have the 8,000 word foreground neural network language model, 12,000 shortlist words in shortlist neural network language model, and structured output layer neural network language models. So what we can see that Seoul and NLM consistently outperforms the shortlist-based neural network language models, not to say of the baseline, of the baseline foreground language model. And what we can also see that the improvement for foregrounds is about 0.2, 0.1. And when we switch to 6-gram scenario with the neural network language models, the gain we get from Seoul neural network language models are a bit better, are a bit larger. So we gain between 0.3, 0.2 over our best shortlist neural network language model. Why we use this shortlist of 8,000 and 12,000? So this is normally the shortlist we use in our experiments, in our systems. And also, when we train our Seoul neural network language model, we use the shortlist of 8,000 words to train the part that won't be clustered. And we use 4,000 classes at the upper level. So this model contained in complexity is pretty much the same as the shortlist model with the 12,000 words in shortlist. What are the conclusions? The Seoul neural network language model is a combination, actually, of neural network and class-based language model. Then it can deal with vocabularies of arbitrary sizes. So in this research, the vocabulary was 56,000 words. But we have recently run the experiments on vocabulary of 300,000. Then speech recognition improvements are achieved on large-scale tasks and over challenging baselines. And then what we have also noted that structured output layer neural networks improve better for longer context. And that's it. Thank you.
Questions?
So it looks like the input layer also has a lot of weights there. So why do you not take into account?
Input layer?
Yeah. If you use a 0-1 coding.
Yeah.
Then the input.
Yeah, but then. Okay.
Zero.
Okay. So here, you mean?
Yeah.
But this is the operation we do at this point is just a matrix row selection. We do not have any. We don't have to do any multiplication. So at this point, it has nothing to do with the increase of complexity. So if you look here. So we have to do just matrix row selection.
But when you do the training, you should have the training the weight which are connected to. You still have to do the training, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because that would be the full matrix.
Yeah.
And then the dimensionality for each.
No, but this part is trained very fast. So it's like.
Why fast? The dimensionality is just as big as the vocabulary. going up. And because training token will give you a whole bunch of variability, variations on the weights. Staying that is supposed to be full matrix.
Okay, can we discuss it later? Because I cannot fully understand.
Any other questions for the speaker? Have time for one more. Yeah, thanks.
I just have two quick questions. So on your setup, I just wonder whether you have results, because you said the range of number of output layer nodes ranges from something very small, a few thousand, to 20,000. On your experiments, did you try go up to 20,000 to see what happens? Because you clustered and class-based output layer configuration, basically spanning across the entire vocabulary, but the other ones, the 8K and 12K, is not. So if you go up a little bit more, what does that happen? Did you?
The maximum we tried it was 12,000K, because already with 12,000K in the output vocabulary, if you have more, like 30, then the training time is too large.
Okay, so you don't have an experiment run that way. And also, so just one basic extreme case. So if you do not split the clustering, you really just cluster all the other words out of the shortlist into one class, how does that model fare against your multiple classing configuration?
We prefer to use this configuration because, actually, that's another story, that's another paper. But we prefer to keep shortlist part. Right. Stable, because in other experiments, what we do, we use much more data to train the out of shortlist part. But this is another story.
Okay.
So
okay, thank you.
Can model M be fit into neural network? Can model M the bump with
I don't know. I have never tried it.
Okay, thank the speaker again. Thank you.